Let me ask you a question. How did you enjoy the election? It's good fun, wasn't it? A bit of a shocker. Now, I think you, as I, from Monmouthshire, are a Conservative area, so I need to be careful what I say. But I think the whole election process, I didn't like the election debates, I'll be honest with you. And what I didn't like about the election debates was the non-answers. Politicians have got this down to a fine art, haven't they? You know, you ask them a question and they say, the important thing is. I don't want to know what you think the important thing is. I want the answer. And I would like the answer with yes or no. So this evening, out of respect, let me ask the question. And I won't tell you the most important thing. I will give you a yes or a no, which is what I hoped and wished everybody would do in the election debates. So, is Jesus the only way? Yes. There we are. Simple, okay? So I've told you exactly what I think now. Jesus is the only way. But what I want to try and do this evening is unpack that a little bit, because I know even saying it, when I say, is Jesus the only way? Yes. I start to feel two things. Number one, I start to feel a little bit arrogant. I mean, who am I to say that I am right and you are wrong? And the other thing I start to feel is a little bit intolerant, because that's really what I'm being told, is by saying Jesus is the only way, you are arrogant and intolerant. Am I? Because I think the big quest for our society and today is we all want to be humble and tolerant. That is British values, isn't it? We want to be humble. We don't want to say that we know everything, and we want to be tolerant. We want to be a society where everybody is welcome. And actually, what I want to do over the next half an hour is try to show you why I think Jesus is the only way, and try and show you that actually I think that is a humble and tolerant view, not an arrogant and intolerant view. And I want to try and do that for you. And though at the end, then there'll be time for questions. So if you want to ask me anything on that, please do. Now, let me try and tell you where we are, okay? What's happening in society? Why do we think the way we do? Well, we live in an age of what they call pluralism, okay? Pluralism. And so pluralism is all around us. We can see it everywhere. We see there is a plurality of views. It isn't just that everybody thinks the same anymore, or even that everybody has the same religion anymore. The whole world has come to our society, and so now every world religion is on display within Wales. You can see everything. You can look around and there is a plurality of opinions. But we've come to a place where not only do we think there is all these different religions, we tend to think they're all the same. They're all the same. So let me quote Madonna. It's going to come up on the screen. Madonna said this: I do believe that all paths lead to God. It's a shame that we end up having religious wars because so many of the messages are the same. I wonder if that's what you think this evening. Actually, Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, the messages are basically the same, aren't they? We want to be right with God. We want to be right with other people. And really, it's a shame that we get it all wrong. And I think part of the reason is, and Madonna picks up on it here, is that we think all paths lead to God. It's a bit like I live in Abergavenny. Now, I don't know if you know Abergavenny. I've only been there 10 months, so I'm getting to know Abergavenny. Now, Abergavenny, for those of you that don't know, is a lovely little market town that is surrounded by about 7 hills. There's 3 big ones. There's the Blorange, there's the Sugarloaf, and there's, anyway, there's other mountains, okay? So what I'm trying to do now is walk up them. This is what I'm trying to do. Now, the other day, I decided to go up the Blorange 3 times in 3 different ways on 3 different routes. So on the first day, I got up early and a friend took me right up the front of the Blorange. And it's literally, I mean, it's like walking up Cader Idris, just straight up the front. You know, within 20 minutes, I was just sweating and it was just a mess. And by the time I got to the top, I was exhausted. So I got to the top this first way on my feet, straight up the front, amazing views. The next day, I decided I would take the family up to the top to Keeper's Pond for a barbecue. So we jumped in my car, and I went up the main road to the top of the mountain. Similar, the same mountain, but now in the car, not by foot, on the top, not to enjoy the view, but to have a barbecue. Well, then the next day I thought, well, come on, 3 days in a row. The Blorange is also called the Tumble. And if you're into road cycling, the Tumble is a bit of a famous kind of route to cycle up. So I thought, I'm going to have a go at that as well. So I jumped on my bike. This is a true story. I know you can't believe it. But I jumped on my bike and I kind of ambled very slowly up this mountain. And I didn't enjoy the view and I didn't have a barbecue. I just felt very ill when I got to the top. But in effect, it was the same mountain, three different modes of transport, three different ways for three different reasons. And sometimes I think it's easy to think that world religions are like that. Ultimately, all world religions are just people going up the same mountain. So here's an image, I guess, of what it could look like in our minds. We think that there's just one mountain, which is God. And let's just take three, for example. There's Islam, there's Christianity, and there's Hinduism. And we're all going up the same path. And there's a sense in which that's the kind of predominant thought that's out there. Perhaps you think like that, and it comes across as very humble and very tolerant, isn't it? It's very humble. No one knows exactly what's going on, and it's very tolerant. We're all the same. It's all okay. But I want to suggest that actually maybe that is actually arrogant and intolerant. Maybe. Let me unpack that for you. Maybe that actually is a little bit arrogant and intolerant, even if you don't realize you're being that way. Let me unpack it for you. So let's ask the question, are we all going up the same mountain to the same place? Let's take Islam, Christianity, and Hinduism. So at the top of the mountain is God. That's where we all think we're going. So are we all going to the same top? Well, let's ask some basic questions. My only A at GCSE was in RE, okay? So this is going to come in handy now, okay? And it's the only A level I passed. But anyway, so I had to become a minister. I had no other choice. But let's look at them. So let's think about God. Well, what does Islam think about God? Well, Islam is very clear. There is only one God, and Allah is his name. Very clear. It's Allah. What about Hinduism? Well, Hindus believe in thousands of gods. There is a plurality of gods. There are loads of gods out there. What about Christians? Well, we believe in a God who is triune, three in one, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And we believe, therefore, that Jesus is God. Now, actually, when you put that into the mix, the other two become even more starkly different. We're saying we're going up the mountain and Jesus is God. Well, what do Hindus think? Well, there are thousands of God and Jesus may be one of those thousands. And what about Islam? Well, no, only Allah is God. Jesus could be a prophet, but he's definitely not God. Actually, we're not all going to the same top because we're not all going to the same God. Or perhaps you think, well, religion isn't about God. Religion is about the afterlife. Lots of people look to religion for comfort in death. Well, imagine going up the mountain to an afterlife. What is it we're all aiming for? Well, what do Christians believe? Christians believe, and we've just sung about it, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And the only way you get to heaven is by grace alone. It's a gift. You can't earn it. That's what Christians believe. It's one or the other. What about Hindus? Well, Hindus don't believe there's heaven or hell. Actually, they believe there's reincarnation, where you keep coming back to pay off bad karma until you become one with Brahman. That's what they believe. That's very different from Christians. Well, what about Muslims and Islam? Well, they believe that it's either paradise or hell, and that's based on what you've done. It's not a gift. It's a direct result of what you've done. Our afterlives look completely different, and the way we get there is completely different. The point I'm trying to make is, actually, we're not all going to the same mountain. When you think about it, well, we all want to love God, we all want to love other people, we all want to do to others how, you know, we should treat them, how they treat us. And yes, there's many similarities down in the kind of hills around the mountains, but actually we're all going up completely different mountains. We're worshipping different gods, and we're on completely different paths. Actually, the picture is more like this one here, isn't it? Islam's going up one, Christianity another, and then Hinduism. And so the problem is, actually, we're not all going up the same mountain. We're all very different. And actually, I find it personally offensive to be told that I believe the same as a Muslim and a Hindu. And I tell you this, a devout Muslim would be equally as offended if you told him he believes the same as me. Because actually, we believe very different things. I don't know if you've ever had someone tell you what you think when you don't think that, but it's frustrating, isn't it? You think, that's not what I think. It's not what I believe. And actually, what society has done is we have said, well, everybody thinks the same. But that's not true. We're very different. And so not only do we have this pluralism, though, we live in an age where pluralism, this kind of plurality of religions, is cherished. We love it. And we like to live in a world where now, because they're all the same, you can mix and match. You can have a kind of pick and mix spirituality. Now, I don't know if some of you definitely look old enough. How many of you remember Woolworths? Remember Woolworths? I used to love Woolworths. And the main reason was the pick and mix. I don't know why it went bust. I always ate pick and mix. Never paid for it, but I always ate it. But I used to love the pick and mix because you could just get the sweets you wanted. And we kind of live in a bit of a one where, well, look, it's okay, get what you want, because essentially they're all the same. And part of, I think, the fear in our generation is anybody saying they can see everything. That's something I think we're worried about, isn't it? Is that anybody to stand up and say, I have the truth, comes across as, well, very arrogant, isn't it? If I was to stand up today and say, I understand everything you all believe better than you do, and I see everything, you would think that's quite arrogant. Actually, the other picture we use isn't one of mountains, but it's one of an elephant. Have you ever heard the picture of an elephant? Let me put the picture up for you here. This is quite a famous analogy for world religions. And really what people say is, look, world religions, it's like blindfolded men around an elephant. You're all around the same elephant, but you just don't realize it. And how you describe that one elephant is different. So one says, wow, an elephant, the guy on the trunk there, he says an elephant is like a big snake because that's what he can feel. Or the guy with a foot, actually, no, it's a tree stump. Or, no, what are you saying? It's like the sheath of leather. Or the guy with a tail, you're all wrong. Actually, it's like a furry mouse. And sometimes people say that. Perhaps you've heard that analogy or you've used it. And basically what that's coming and saying, and this comes across as very humble, isn't it, is that, look, no one can see the whole picture. And what you're trying to describe, well, it's just part of the truth, but you're all saying the same. So look, you're all with the same God. So in effect, you're all right, but you're all therefore wrong. And it comes quite humble and quite tolerant, doesn't it? Maybe it's a better analogy than the mountain analogy. I'm not sure. But then I came across a guy called Leslie Newbegin, and he wrote a book called The Gospel in a Pluralistic Society. Now, he had been a missionary, and lots of people around the world would come up to him and give this analogy. And they'd always come up very humbly and very kind of tolerant in the way they said it. And then one day he had a thought. And I'd never had this thought until I read Newbegin say it. He said, hold on. How do you know everybody's blindfolded? And secondly, how do you know everybody's experiencing the same elephant? You see, who knows what everybody is seeing? The person who sees everything. Actually, the analogy is that actually we know everything. We know the truth. Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Sikhism. You don't know what you really believe. But I know, because I can see it all. And then you realize, hold on, this is quite an arrogant and intolerant view. Because it says, I know more than you, and you're not allowed to believe what you believe. You must believe what I believe. Now that spins me, because I start to think, hold on, no. Surely I should be the arrogant one. Surely I should be the intolerant one, because I'm saying Jesus is the only way. But actually to say to me, no, Christians don't believe that, and you can't say that, perhaps maybe that is the arrogant and intolerant one, even if you're saying it from a humble and a tolerant position. We've ended up in this world where we've moved now, not only to the fact that we see there's all these different religions, not only are we saying they're all the same, we're now saying if you don't believe that, actually that's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to stand up to say and to say I believe Jesus is the only way. A little cartoon sums up our age, which is going to come up here, and this is what the cartoon says. What the word tolerance means, we'll just have to agree to disagree, and that's okay. But what most people mean when they say the word tolerance, we'll just have to agree that you have to agree with me or I'll call you intolerant. And I wonder if that's where society has just moved slightly now. Where actually I could get along very happily with a devout Hindu or Muslim and we could share our differences and debate them and I would respect them. I would be tolerant. If they want to have religious freedom, that is fine. But we don't believe in the same God. We don't believe in the same afterlife. We don't believe that you get there in the same way at all. And I believe, actually, we can be tolerant of one another in the way that we discuss that. But once I start to say to my Muslim or my Hindu friend, no, you can't believe that, actually, then I'm becoming intolerant. We need to see that actually there are differences in society, but those differences are huge. They are fundamental. And into those differences comes the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He states that he is the only way in the positive and the negative. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Positive, negative. No one comes to the Father but by me. And I think this is some of the greatest news we can ever have. I want to read a passage from the Bible for you. It's the start of John's Gospel. John wrote a life account of Jesus. And at the start, he explains some really helpful things about Jesus. And what I want to do is just walk through and show how this helps us understand what's going on. Let me read the first 8 verses to you. And just for you to know, John here uses the word Word, W-O-R-D, as a code name for Jesus. So when he says Word, he means Jesus. And this is what he says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. John 1 says this, that the Word, God, Jesus, came to the earth. The light came to the earth. Now, why am I telling you this? Why is this so important? Well, it's because if you think about the elephant, let's go back to the elephant, and if you think about the mountain, what do mountains and elephants have in common? It sounds like a joke, doesn't it? It's not a joke. But what do mountains and elephants have in common? They can't talk to you. They can't talk to you. An elephant can make a noise, but in effect, it is mute. And you see, the assumption is today that actually God is mute. He's like a mountain or an elephant. You see, that's the problem with being blindfolded around an elephant and trying to explain. The elephant just goes, Mah! But if he was a man, he could go, no, I'm not a snake, you know, I'm not a piece of leather, I am a human being. And John 1 teaches us this, that God has spoken, that God has come. You see, Christianity, one of the reasons I don't believe Christianity is arrogant is because we believe that the only reason we know anything is because God has told us. We don't believe that we've worked it out. You see, here's the first point I want to tell you this evening. It's going to come up on the screen for you, is that God speaks in words and the Word. God speaks to us in words. We don't have to figure God out. Actually, God reveals himself. John 1 says that he's Jesus come into the world. You see, very often I feel like a man in a dark room with no light. How can I figure anything out? Well, the Bible says that Jesus comes into our room and he is light and he shows us what's happening. So what has happened then? Why don't we know about Jesus? Why all this confusion? Well, the second point is this. We have rejected the truth. Listen to verses 9 to 11, some of the saddest verses in the Bible. So God has stepped into our world to bring us light, and this is what it says. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. How sad is that? The revelation has come. The elephant has spoken. And what do? We rejected him. Jesus came and we didn't believe him. You see, the great news of Christianity is this. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to take a year off, travel the world and find yourself. It's okay. You don't have to do any of that because God has revealed himself. It's always a great thing, isn't it? How can you know anything about me? The only way you can know anything about me is if I tell you, or if I reveal it to you. Let's have a little competition, okay? You ready? Bit of a quiz. I'm going to ask you a question, okay? What am I thinking? Pardon? Is anybody going to answer that? It's an excellent, but that's not what I was thinking. But that's a good attempt. I like it. Anybody else want to try and figure out what I'm thinking? Nice foyer. I have thought that. It's a very nice foyer. Can I just commend the church on such a foyer? That's great. Actually, do you know what I was thinking? Because I thought I'd better have a proper thought so I can tell you what the thought was. My thought was, they've hidden the projector behind the wood there. That's very clever. You can only see the light coming out. I like that. Very clever. That's what I was thinking. Now, the only reason you now know I was thinking that is because I've revealed it to you. I've spoken it to you in words. The only thing we can know about God, and the only reason we can know God, is because he has spoken to us, but not just in words, but in the Word, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what have we done? We've rejected him. Not just when Jesus came in the New Testament 2,000 years ago, but actually in our lives. Sometimes we look at God and we don't want to hear God. We think that God is a killjoy or a moral Mary Whitehouse or just something for your deathbed as an insurance policy. Actually, God is for now, and he wants to speak to us. My question is, don't reject him. It's amazing that he wants to speak to us. And later on in John, he not only says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me, he also goes on and says this, that I have come to give you life, life to the full. You know, God came into the world in Jesus to give us life, life in the full. Now, perhaps you're here this evening, and you're thinking, no, but John, my life's okay. I'm okay, thank you. Good job, good family, good health. What do you mean Jesus has come to give me life to the full? Life is okay. And do you know what? Life may be okay. In fact, it may be great. And I'm really chuffed for you. But actually, Jesus came to give you something more, something better. Let me explain it this way. Last Christmas, I bought some gifts for my two boys. I've got two little boys, 8 and 4. I bought one of them a remote control spider. That's brilliant, isn't it? It's a great gift, a remote control spider. And I bought the other one a remote control car. And they loved playing with their remote control spider and their remote control car. And then something happened, which was amazing. My eldest son realized they were both on the same frequencies. So when the spider was just standing there and his little brother wasn't using it and his remote control was off, Noah could turn his remote control on and move the spider to freak his brother out. It was absolutely amazing. And he started to realize, and they both started enjoying this, that actually they could use the spider with the remote control car's remote control. And it was brilliant. But do you know what? It got really boring really quickly. Because when we bought this spider, this is a very cool spider, the spider has disco mode. This is very good. So on the actual remote control for the spider, you can press a button, and then the spider starts disco dancing, and kind of lights and music and all its little claws are going everywhere. It's absolutely phenomenal. But when you run it off the remote control for the car, it'll move up and down, but it won't disco dance. And you see, that's the same thing about our life. We can control our life ourselves, and we can move up and down, you can't disco dance. And actually, God comes to give us life to the full. And when God is in control of our life, actually there is a depth and a joy and a reality to our life, not just now, but forever, that is amazing. And in rejecting Jesus, we think we're having great things, but actually we're missing out on the most important thing, which is eternal life with him. But here's the third and final great news, and I'm going to read the last part, is this. There is, thirdly, an amazing offer of the gospel. Let me read on to what happens, verse 12 to 14. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the great news. Do you know what? No matter whether you've rejected Jesus before, you can come now and you can accept him. And if you believe in him, he will give you eternal life. And you see, it's only Jesus who can give you eternal life. This is where Christianity is different from all other religions. One man said this: the difference between religion and Christianity just comes down to two letters. So all the world religions say, do. Do this. You've got to follow the five pillars. You've got to work off your karma. You've got to follow this. Do, do, do. But Christianity comes and adds just two little letters, N-E, done. Christianity tells us that Jesus came and lived the perfect life we would never live, died on a cross to pay the price for our sins, and has risen again victorious. That anybody who believes in him can have real eternal life because he has done it all. You see, all world religions take away your joy because they say, do, 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 and hopefully you will be good enough. But how do you ever know you're good enough? Christianity comes and says, Jesus has done it, and he makes you good enough, and you can know him. And what does it say here? You can become children of God, adopted into his family. You see, that's how you become a Christian. Let me end with one last mountain story. One of my other favourite mountains is Dinas Mawddwy. You know, the mountain up in North Wales? It's a lovely mountain. And I remember once going there with a bunch of students about 20 years ago, and we went for a walk up to the waterfall. There's a lovely waterfall. And when we got to the waterfall, we went up the kind of scree. We went to the top of the mountain and back down. It was great, a nice day out on a summer's day. Well, they went back that winter in November, and I wasn't with them. And so they went, and in the afternoon, it was one of those glorious November afternoons, you know, when it's really sunny. And so they just went out, some of the girls in dresses and flip-flops, the boys in shorts and trainers. And so they got to the waterfall, and when they got to the waterfall at about 2:30 in the afternoon this November day, they thought, this is wonderful. Last time we came here, Jonathan took us up to the top of the scree, up to the top of the mountain, and we walked down. Let's do that again. Well, they tried to walk up the mountain. They tried to get up the scree, but it just got harder and harder and harder. And as it got harder and harder and harder, as it does on those clear November afternoons, it got darker and darker and darker. Until an hour later, they were in pitch black in the middle of a North Wales mountain, and it was getting colder and colder and colder. This was 20 years ago, no mobile phones, no GPS. They were up on the mountains. And so they ended up trying to find their way, and they found a fence, put their hands on the fence. And this is what they thought: if we follow the fence, we'll be okay. You've seen fences on mountains in North Wales? You just go to the edge. And as they're following this fence, they just heard the guy in the front say, stop! I said, what's wrong? He says, my feet are dangling and I can't feel anything underneath. He had no idea, was he as high as this stage? Or was he 400 foot in the air? Couldn't see a thing. He said, turn around. But they couldn't. They were on scree again. The girls and the boys, they all started to panic. And then they started to realize, no one knows where we are. We've got no way of getting help. We've got no way of going. Stay overnight on a mountain in North Wales in November. Some of you aren't going to walk off. You see, following your own path, doing your own thing on the mountain, even if it's a glorious sunny day at the start, let me tell you this, when you come to the end of your days and you face death, you'll start to panic. Have I been good enough? Have I done enough? Is it all real? Will it all be worth it? Well, thankfully, people had noticed they weren't there. People had noticed they hadn't come home, and so they phoned the emergency services, and so a Sea King helicopter was dispatched from Anglesey. And about 2 hours later, they said the joy they saw when in the darkness, this light started beaming down the valley. And as this light started beaming down the valley, they started to realize it wasn't as high as this stage. They were about 300 foot up. One slip and they would have died. And next thing, the helicopter came. The door opened and down came the winchman. And the winchman came down, put him onto themselves, and pulled them back up into the helicopter and saved their lives. You see, following their own path on the mountain, they would have died. Jesus didn't help them up the mountain. The helicopter man didn't help them up the mountain. He just saved them. Jesus doesn't help us up the mountain. Jesus isn't even at the top of the mountain. Jesus comes down from heaven and he saves us and gives us life eternal. That's why I believe Jesus is the only way, because he's the only one who saves us and gives us life. Well, look, there's some thoughts on Christianity and why Jesus is the only way.